Radio. Oh yeah. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Ride 'em Cowgirl, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Florida, I'm adoring ya. Yakima! I didn't forget you, baby. I'm gonna never forget you, baby. Roth Radio, as live as we're ever going to be, 866-313-3733. We started off with the fella who shot the Pope is getting out. And kind of dovetailed that into the guy who shot John Lennon, who shot the president, who shot the, who stabbed the tennis player. Oh, wait a minute. What about the gal? I forget her name. She's an Italian name. Remember, she got her face all cut up. Somebody came to the door and gave her something like 400 stitches in the face. You guys know who I'm talking about.
A model here in New York?
I think she was an actress. She was a model as well, but and I think her boyfriend is what paid for it. They were breaking up, and he was causing a problem, and she took 400 stitches in the face. Are these the kinds of people who ultimately can be cured? Is there such a thing as an ex-junkie? Is there such a thing as an ex-murderer? Is there such a thing as an ex-child molester? Or is it for life?
I think people can get off drugs, but I'm not a big fan of rehabilitation when it comes to... I really don't believe in rehabilitation when it comes to sex crimes and murder crimes and stuff like that. Do you?
I don't know. I'm very curious as to how other people see this here. Give me Heather on number eight. She says, I don't know if she's a fan of offensive sex or she wants to talk about sex offenders. Two very different subjects, but I'm the right guy for both. Heather, you're on. Number eight, you're good. Go.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on what you were talking about, whether sex offenders should be allowed back, you know, back out into society.
Certainly.
After they've been convicted.
Yo.
My dad's ex-girlfriend, like, her ex-husband just got out of jail for child molesting an 8-year-old. And he's allowed to live in the same house with the child that he molested. How is that possible? I mean, it's ridiculous.
What city is this taking place in?
Vero Beach.
Whoa. Okay. Well, you know, this is a little closer to the south for the rest of the country. You know, when you talk about different parts of the country, you're not familiar with it. A lot of Florida is very, very much unlike the south. And I'm wondering if they have different kinds of rulings than what happens in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles. And he's living in the same place as the kid that he molested?
Yes, he is. And I think it's ridiculous. And I mean, I don't see how, you know, the government can just allow this to happen. People just back in society like that. That's ridiculous.
Second. Put her on, Hutch.
I think it's just ridiculous.
What about the mother? I mean, think of the mother. She wants the boyfriend back after he's molested the father.
That's a whole other creepy thing. The mothers who choose their own lives over the lives of their kids, and that happens every day. They bring these people back into the house, and their kids are at stake, but they want to get laid.
What is it?
They're just their love life.
They just have a fear that they're going to lose the husband,
right,
and that there's going to lose the stability or whatever, keeping them, livelihood.
Yeah, and they should genesis of strippers.
I think it's sad on both, on the mother and the father's part that she would allow that as well.
The mother probably requested it, huh? She would not have it forced on her. What do you think, Lynn?
Yeah, I think that the mom, I mean, you got to hold these parents accountable. And, you know, there's plenty of times where parents, you know, the mother will not believe that the father or the boyfriend is doing it, and then they'll just kind of ignore it. And the kids get messed up. I mean, you talk about strippers. Yeah, stripper genesis.
That's where you bake them. That's where you create them. That's where they come from. I think it's a nutcase. I think those guys should have a term of life plus forever. You throw them away like wet Kleenex. Number 10, Christina. She's calling all the way from Georgia. Where in Georgia are you from, Christina? I know it pretty well. Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm from Valdosta.
I know Valdosta really well. Okay, and what do you want to talk about?
Summer.
Go ahead, babe.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you had a 16-year-old daughter and she come home and said she was dating a 22-year-old man, what would you do?
You're going to have to take a look at the kid. Probably deny. 22-year-old guy?
Yeah?
This sounds like when somebody walks into the doctor and says, a friend of mine thinks he has the clap. And the doctor says, well, drop your pants and let's take a look at him. Sounds to me like you have a very specific case in mind here. sounds like this isn't a hypothetical situation, that these people actually exist and you may actually be in the middle of them. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I'm a 16-year-old girl and I'm married to a 22-year-old man.
Oh, you're 16 and you're married to a 22-year-old
well,
man.
Actually, I'm 29 now, but I married him when I was 16.
How did you manage that? Where did you do? Forge your signature or create? Did your parents give you approval?
Well, no, I was living with my grandmother, and I sweet-talked her into signing me over.
Okay, and she signed you over. Well, now that's an interesting expression right there. What's your husband do for a living?
He's an ex-DJ.
So you're going for stability and, and content.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the choice you made now?
Excuse me?
How long have you been married?
I've been married going on 13 years.
And you started when you were 16. You're still married to him for 13 years.
Sure I am.
Was he the first guy you dated?
No. I dated a guy for about a year.
You started squeezing when you were 15 years old, and then you decided to get married at 16, and you lasted all this time?
Honey, I started before I was 15.
Okay, well, you know what? It sounds to me like you got lucky. It sounds to me like, you know, the saints smiled upon you, because that is so rare that somebody would do that, especially with a husband who's involved in showbiz. Come on, Robin.
How many babies did you have?
I have an 11-year-old daughter.
Just one?
Just one.
In all that time. So you really watched yourself as far as taking care of yourself and birth control and the whole Ford thing, or were you just lucky there, too?
No, I've been taking care of myself.
Okay.
You sound like an exception to the rule.
By the time she's grown, see, I'll still be young enough to have fun.
You sound completely like...
did you always date older men? I mean, even when you were 15 or 14, did you always find yourself attracted to older men?
She's thinking about it. You don't have to actually count. Just generalize, baby. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay, and is this something... did your mother marry somebody who was, like, older than her? Is that a thing? Because my Uncle Manny's current wife is 36 years old, 36 years younger than he is. And that's always been a pattern in my family's life.
My mom was 18, and my dad was, I think, 21.
Hey, you know what? As far as age difference, my Uncle Dave didn't have his kids till he was 57 years old, and those kids have turned out perfect.
Excellent.
You follow? Uncle Manny, same thing. You know, he always waited until later. My father didn't start karate lessons until he was 56 years old. So in terms of being able to throw a football, I don't think you need to know that as much as a dad as why you throw the football. You follow
exactly
what I'm saying? So, but I don't think that's what you were thinking of. What do you do for a living now? What do you do for a living now?
What do I do for a living? Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom right now.
Did you grow up with a dad in your house?
No.
Well, then there's your issue. Yeah. You replaced
case
dad.
Case closed.
Yeah, I thought about that, yeah.
And what's his name? What's your husband's name?
Jonathan.
And do you ever go, oh, daddy? Sounds like the saints have smiled on you. Good luck, and the future's looking brighter every beer I pour in me. Roth, 866-313-3733. Here's a good stalker story. I'll tell one right up front here. My stalker, Deborah Ruth, who was the one who sued me for telepathically robbing my lyrics from her brain. This was she called herself Yankee Rose. Yankee Rose? No, really.
Ruth Roth.
No, Deborah Ruth Roth, you know. She had gone and dug around into the garbage and come up with enough addresses and stuff from the offices. This was when I was in Van Halen, going off into solo, addresses for publicists, magazines, management firms, accounting firms, etc., etc. And she was, like I said, the top half of her looked like homeless. The bottom half of her looked like about an 8.5 on a 10 scale, which took care of herself. And that's how she conned people. Okay.
So she was a 10 in the pants?
Oh, 10 in the pants. She looked great. No, really. You know, she wore a baseball hat, you know, and kind of covered herself up on top. And she wore a little skirt or little hot pants. People paid attention to her. Okay. And she went to a whole number of different, shops and markets all up and down Sunset Boulevard, et cetera, et cetera. And conned people into fronting her stuff for a bill. She'd say, I'm David Lee Roth's fiance. And they'd look at her legs and go, oh, okay. And she'd say, he shops here frequently, etc. He's going to be here, an assistant will be here. And I need to buy these sunglasses. I need to buy these shoes. You know, I'd like to get these on the front. And in Hollywood, you know, that kind of flies. You know, that flies frequently, all right? Especially if they see you in and out and you're a constant smile that passes through the door. Okay, great. And hey, no accounting for taste. Besides, look at her legs, right?
Yo.
She went and bought herself a $5,000 wedding dress and somehow conned whoever it was at the shop into doing it. All right. You know, I was flavor of the week at the moment there. I was on all the television sets and in the billboards and stuff. So, you know, somehow she conned him into doing this. Took pictures of herself in the wedding dress and sent out wedding invitations all over the world, claiming that we were going to be getting married in the football stadium in Rio de Janeiro. It's called Maracanã. It holds about 100,000 people. And I start getting letters from all over the world. Dave, congratulations. Dave, thanks, Dave. Dave, finally, et cetera, et cetera. And when, spread the word, of course, that we weren't getting married is when she sued me for telepathically stealing the lyrics out of her brain, for having the supposed three kids that we had together sold off into slavery and shipped down to South America, and for selling her to several large black guys.
She fronted everything on your name?
Oh, totally.
By the way, Dave, I hope this isn't going to be awkward, but I told a couple of people I was your wife this weekend, and I got a great new Bentley.
Yeah. Dave, can I be excused? I got to go to Holly Davidson for a minute.
Anthony has a stalker story. He's number 14 on our hit list. Anthony, are you with us there?
How you doing, Dave?
Don't stalk me. Tell us your story.
Well, when I was 17, I was in high school, and I used to go every morning about an hour before the school opened up, go to the gymnasium just so I could work out. So I used to pick the lock to get in once I was already in the school. And I had this girl that I was trying to get with for a while, and that morning, you know, everybody used to meet in Dunkin' Donuts before we used to go to school, and she was feeling me, so we went into the school, and in the gym closet is where they keep all the, you know, equipment. Me and her used to fool around, and while we were right in the middle of everything, my female gym teacher walked in, and she flipped out on us, you know, she went crazy, and she told us all this is terrible. She started to give us a lecture that we're both underage, I could go to jail, we could kicked out of school, and she didn't take us to the principal, but she said, get dressed and both of you get out of here, and we'll deal with this another time. So 3 or 4 days went by, and every time I saw her, she was giving me dirty looks. Then one day, the fourth day, she said to me, she used to make these, like, really sexual comments to me that didn't seem right. And then she told me the next day, come in early at 6 o'clock. So I went in early at 6 o'clock to the gym, and she said to me, you know, I was thinking about what I actually saw, and I like that. And she goes, I want you to take off your pants right now. So, you know, I was kind of nervous. I thought she was setting me up. And
what year did this take place?
What's that? What year?
What year?
Probably 87, 80. I was probably 87.
That was a damn good decade, wasn't it?
And what year is the story going to end?
I want to know if it's the teacher or the girl. Who's he talking about?
The teacher is the one who took you into the gym and said, I like what I saw, now drop your pants, right? That's the teacher who said that, correct?
Yeah, it was a teacher.
Oh, man, when I die, I want you to burn me to an ash and pour my ashes all over the 80s, baby. No, really, it was a great decade, but it only went from 1980 to about 1987 because it was up all night, man. Sorry, I'm just, I can't do what you do, but I can make it a little more interesting to listen to you. Go ahead, bud. You're on. And what happened? She said, drop your drawers and what?
Stop your doors. You know, I felt a little funny at first, and I felt under pressure. I thought she was setting me up. And then the third day, it was full forward sex.
Okay,
like
stop.
2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, now stop. How old were you?
I was 17.
And were you old enough for this, or do you feel like you've been victimized? Has this left you emotionally scarred for life?
No, no, actually, you know, when you think back on it, she did me a favor. You wish you had seen
it. Sex education right there.
Okay, I think we all know, but I just got to hear you say it like the probation officer says. How did this benefit you?
Yeah, well, if I was a female and it was a male teacher, then I would think it was wrong. But being that I was a male, you know, at 17, your hormones are raging. You know, when I think back on it, maybe she did me a favor because it gave me more of an experience in later life, I guess.
Well, I almost agree with you here. As far as age and what happens according to country, hey, most different places. Like my Uncle Manny said, how old was he? 9 years old? 10 years old his first time. He was in Indiana right before the Great Depression. So, you know, depending on where you are, and it's going to impact how people think. But you know what? I think for fellas it is different. You know, with guys, you get six attaboys, and you create self-esteem, like Bill Maher says. You know, you create self-esteem. With the girls, you create a stripper.
Yeah.
No, that's half the battle. Keep her off the pole. Yes, go ahead.
And you know how every show you should sign off with sign-off music? I think you should play Happy Trails at the end of every show.
Well, that's not a bad idea. What's that we hear in the background? Sounds like he's playing guitar.
Oh, that's the guy blowing his air horn because I just shut down production in a building because I was driving.
Roth Radio, ruining it for everybody. Thanks for calling in. 866-313-3733. What, do you want to go to the track? Hit the track, white boy. Don't go away. Might I jump it up early in the morning, baby. Like a Nike missile in the Cheerios.
Well, it's looking outside, just hanging around my front door. You said you had enough, now you're coming back for more. But that's all right. Friends with you, but how could one be so thoughtless to try and handle less than two? But that's all right. I said that's all right, baby.
You got that?
I may not want to admit it.
Roth, weekday morning.
You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about Little Fire Scarecrow? ただいま, David Lee Roth とつながっています。小さな火の架かしはいかが？
Broadcasting International Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. We're international, broadcasting on the wave. We're emails all the way from Berlin, Rio de Janeiro, Calgary, Canada, and Yakima, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh's heard the word. West Palm Beach, it's all within reach. Is anorexia a fashion accessory? We'd like to think so. If you have enough strength, pick up the phone. Go in the bathroom and purge that cert you ate for breakfast. If you have the energy, here comes the number. 866. Just memorize it so you can tell somebody else to punch it in. 313. 3733. Here's a sip of water. Not too much.
Soup asked me earlier if I'd like a glass of water, and I told him I'm trying to quit. All those last three quarts a week are killing me. But I look freaking good. Okay. Lindsay Lohan, you're up. You're on Hot Stuff. Get your little finger out of your throat and talk to Daddy. I think... What's so funny? I haven't said the punchline. I went to the modeling cafe. I told you guys the other day. And it's a true story. I don't mind repeating it. I said to the waiter, give me what the fashion models order. He said, great, here's a potato chip, a bucket, and a feather. Is Lindsay actually bulimic? Let's open up on that. Well, there's a picture of her. That's Mario Testino, the photographer, all right? He can take a picture of a geranium and make it look sexually attractive.
No, Dave. Where'd the boobies go? There's a problem there.
No, there's no problem there. She's a kid. Look.
No.
Look in the front, though.
No, she looks fine.
She looks great.
It's Nicole Richie. Check out Nicole Richie.
It's airbrushed.
It's not airbrushed. Well, of course she's airbrushed. Every plastic makes perfect in our business here.
You think she's had implants? Because she denies it, but everybody says she did.
What? If she's got all the... If she's got all the other problems, if she's got all the other issues, then, yeah, why not? You know, it's a structural answer to a... spiritual question. It's the Phyllis Diller approach. You got spiritual issues, so you just try and excavate your face little by little by little, right? Who is the gal who did the cat woman who did too much surgery, who lives here? I think her name is Wildenstein or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do you remember that?
Joyce Wildenstern?
Yeah, she did so many surgical procedures.
So
go ahead.
What can I say? She is so bloody scary. She actually had her eyes made. She's cat obsessed, and she had her eyes done in a way that it would look like a cat. And you gotta wonder, like, who's her surgeon, and why are they saying yes? I guess money talks, because she is just scary looking.
Well, it's like a tattoo. You know, you can walk in and ask for some pretty bizarre stuff, and people get, like, facial tattoos and whatever. You probably, you know, you will be able to find somebody who will do that stuff for you. But
I can't wait till she wants to have whiskers implanted.
I want to meet the lawyer that, like, wrote the release for the doctor. And
the release for which doctor?
For the doctor that's doing all this. I mean, he's a doctor. He's got to look and see that she looks horrible. I mean, he doesn't want to get sued. There's got to be somebody that's, like, you know, signing the release and making it, like, you know.
All right, well, more important than that, you can always find somebody, you know, who to give you whatever tattoo you want on your forehead. The question is, was it okay for her husband to leave her? Because he sued.
Apparently not.
That was his bias for divorce, right? That was his basis.
Oh, was it? I thought she started doing this after he left, but I'm not sure.
No.
Who'd want to be married to that?
Well, I guess the issue is till death do you part, or until you need to revise your license, until you need shots.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's the issue. You know, can you leave somebody? She tried to improve herself. You know, the trouble with self-improvement is knowing when it's time to quit, right?
Well, she came out publicly, though, saying, well, publicly. She, you know, her thing wasn't that I'm trying to improve myself. It's I'm trying to make myself look like a panther.
And no, really?
I swear to God.
But her vision of improvement was to look feline.
To look feline.
To look like a cat or whatever. So then, I guess the issue then is it okay to structurally rearrange? I think it's okay if things start to fall down or fall out. I think if the gravity extracts its grievous toll.
And I guess if you don't mind spending a lot of time alone, it's fine.
But you know what? There's a number of other guys. Who is it? Johnny Versace's daughter or niece or whatever is struggling with that as well. Anorexia.
Oh.
Do they have anorexia in third world countries? Is there such a thing as anorexics in Iraq? Is there such a thing as anorexics in Africa?
It's not voluntary.
It's a entire nations, huh? But that's a rich man's sport, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Anorexia is a rich man's disease, isn't it?
Yeah, and remember in the olden days, it used to be, you know, to be really fat and heavy was the thing. That's what showed you had a lot of money and power, and now it's the other way around. But anorexia, I think, is also a first kid thing, first kid in the family, the first daughter anyway, and it's a pressure thing, and
A pressure thing from who?
From the kid. The kid's got this perfect ideal, and it's, you know, it's a strange brain loop that they can't seem to get over.
I can't imagine what it'd been like to be involved in all that fashion circle, like Versace's niece or whatever relationship she is, growing up around all the fashion models and all those international characters, right? And that she's got to keep up with that, because you're either genetically engineered for walking the runway or whatever, or you're not. I'm clearly not. But you're either designed for that or you're not. And if you try to keep up with it and that's not really you, that's a sentence and a half, isn't it? That's a rough call. This is a kid who's been, I was just reading in the newspaper, has been sent home from school. She was going to a private school. And, you know, they said, clearly there's something going wrong. Is there such thing as an ex-anorexic, or do you struggle with that forever? Go ahead. While you answer, I'm going to hum "We've Only Just Begun."
We've only just begun.
I wonder what the bathroom smells like at a fashion show.
Smells like it smells like the jockey quarters at Santa Anita.
But there are some of these. Is there a long line there? Like, is there a long line at the bathroom at a fashion place?
I don't know. My hunch is that you get a purse big enough to just, you know, like, you don't have to even go into the bathroom, so nobody knows what you're doing. You just have your own little private puke bucket, puke pouch.
You hear these rumors going along with everybody who looks real good out there. You know, when you wear your pants that low, the point of no return, where the Bermuda Triangle starts, then that's a major issue. I gotta wonder what's going through a kid's mind, because you're looking at these pictures in the magazine. These are obviously, photoshopped pictures from a $50,000 a session photographer, and then this kid, if she was actually in school, is going to be eating what, McDonald's?
Well, that's the funny thing. You always see them, you know, at the Ivy, and they're drinking those fantastic gimlets and eating.
What's in a gimlet?
Well, at the Ivy, it's vodka, crushed lime, crushed sugar with a sugar-rimmed glass, and they go down so silky smooth, especially about 11:30 in the morning.
Oh, you're talking about for breakfast, huh? For me, it's a cup of coffee and a fistful of Tylenol.
There you go. Well, this isn't an everyday breakfast. I'm shopping with the girls this afternoon, and we need to start with a gimlet.
Okay. Number 10, Dave's here. He says there's a story about his girlfriend's mom. Dave, are you here?
I'm here.
Talk to me.
This happened, I think it was like right around 1980. I met a girl. I'm from Massachusetts, but I met her up in Maine. We used to spend our summers up there. And she worked at a hotel. She had just started that season. And we met. And for 2 or 3 weeks, she just wouldn't introduce me to her mom or bring me around.
How old was her mom?
Her name was Virginia.
Stacy's mom.
Nice lady. She was a real nice lady. You guys are killer. So for a couple of weeks, it was probably 3 weeks, she, you know, kind of rarely talked about her. And so anyways, one afternoon we did go over there, and her mom wasn't supposed to be there, but she was there, and she was laying out in the sun. And I mean, this woman was an absolute knockout.
And here's to you.
So one thing led to another, and I ended up spending the night over there. And she was, you know, every time her mom started into the conversation, she'd jump in. It was kind of like they were competing against each other. And I'm not a really gorgeous guy either. I was kind of, we go to, and her mother allowed us to sleep together. And her daughter was only 15. So anyways, I get up, I go to the bathroom. That night, her mom comes in and it totally attacks me. And the funny part about it is her mom was dating the guy that lived, they lived in a trailer park. Her mom was dating
a guy. Oh, wait a minute, stop right there.
You so just killed the story.
He lived 2 trailers down, and he was the New Hampshire state policeman.
It happened in a trailer park. Come on, this is so obvious. Of course this happened. It's like, come on, man. It's like pulling up to McDonald's and going, what do you got?
That's true.
But go ahead and finish it. It's like porno. Yeah, I know how it ends, but go ahead.
It's God's honest truth.
Really?
No, it was just incredible. And it only happened that one time, but it was just incredible for me.
Who was better?
And, you know, her mom just, like, it was natural. I don't even know why she did it.
Who was better? Who left a longer lasting memory?
She did, actually.
Well, there you go. See,
mom.
And as a salute to mom, I don't know if you were underage or what jurisdiction you were in, but it's all passed now. I'm sure the statute of limitations is passed here. the philosophy of the day. It's not who you sleep with, but who wants to sleep with you again. Roth Radio. All worldwide.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Radio 866-313-3733. Rockers with walkers is an important subject today. Who here, Animal, do you know who the band Cream was? Are you familiar with the band Cream?
No, I'm not familiar with that band.
All right, turn the loop down here. I'm going to hum on the right. Can you play Sunshine of Your Love, Brian? Do you know that one? That doesn't sound familiar to you there?
Yeah, a little bit. I've heard that before, but I didn't know who was singing it.
Okay, well, that's an old band, but it's a familiar name. That's Eric Clapton and so forth. And the concert was here just recently, okay? And being come back from the music background here, this is a source of enjoyment here, something to talk about. Stan, you went to the show, right? You went to the Cream show?
Yeah, back in November.
Okay, now this is recently enough because everybody's been on vacation. This is actually the beginning of the year this week here. Tell me what you saw there, because I've been hearing different kinds of impact on this. Go ahead, man.
Right. Well, they played three nights in November.
And did you go all three nights?
No, I went to two of the nights.
How much did it cost to go in there?
The first night that I went, I had like the ninth row the orchestra, whatever.
How much is a
ticket? $350 a ticket.
Is that good? Is that a decent price in your way of thinking?
I don't think so.
You guys, what do you think? Is $350 too much to go see Cream?
That should come with a happy ending.
Do they have cookies coming with the Cream?
Yeah, right?
Okay, and you saw two different nights, and they were both $350?
No, the first night was $350 because it was in the orchestra, and I went the last night, which was $175.
Why was it $175 as opposed to...
Because I was all the way upstairs.
Oh, in the nosebleed seats.
Yeah, the nosebleed seats.
Sensio, did you go see this show? Come on in here. Lynn, give him your headsets here and let him weigh in on this here. Because I've been hearing conflicting reports. Now, you're a Cream fan from way back, Stan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Matt,
yeah.
How old are you, Matt?
I'm 36.
Okay, and are you a Cream fan?
Used to be, yeah.
All right, what happened?
Used to.
See, with this is a downtown bunch, and every syllable counts for something. Used to be. That sounds ominous.
It was like a Simpsons episode.
Wait a minute. My whole career is like a Simpsons episode. What were you pointing at there?
Was it Jack Bruce had a little walker or something up there?
That's Jack Bruce is the bass player,
oh,
right?
Yeah. He had like a little throne to lean up against, I think.
Well,
he just, like a chair, like what was sitting on, you know? But he just can't, I think he had a liver transplant not too long ago, and he's got to be, what, in his 60s?
Yeah, he was a mess. He looked awful, too.
Right.
He could barely stand up.
But I thought he played really good that night, you know?
He just barely wandered around, right? What about Clapton? How did he do?
Well, that's the other story. Like Jack and Ginger, they were like really grooving and getting down. And Eric Clapton, it looked like he didn't even want to be there. Well, you know what I mean? He just like moseyed around the
stage. And what'd you see, Matt?
He mailed it in. He didn't do anything.
He mailed it in.
Very beige performance.
Okay. And did he play beige on both nights, Stan?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much he was consistent. You know what I mean?
Consistently beige.
For both nights. But,
Beige is the color that should have never been invented, right?
Well, you know what, the thing is, being a guitar player, you know, I was expecting to see, like, I knew I wasn't going to see Cream like they were back in
the
60s.
Well, now stop a waiter. Why wouldn't it be like it was back in the 60s? Look at what Jagger's doing. Look at what Keith Richards is doing. There's a balance there that they have the energy of kids. Come on. Regardless of what the paint job looks like, why shouldn't you expect that? Look at what Paul McCartney sounds like on stage. He sounds stellar.
Right.
It's just, he hits every high note or whatever. You follow?
Well, the only reason that I knew that what you know, what they were going to sound like, because I heard the shows that they did at Royal Albert Hall.
How did you hear those?
I heard before the... I got a bootleg from the shows from Royal Albert
Hall. Where'd you get the bootleg? Off the internet?
No, down in the Village.
And by the time they'd finished those concerts in between that time and they showed up, they'd issued a bootleg disc was available in the store.
Matter of fact, I think I got it about 2 weeks after they played.
And that was available with a cover, with cellophane, and the whole finished product.
Yeah, finished product.
Wow, how much did that cost you?
I think they go for like $50 for a double disc, for a two-disc set.
And that includes the drum solo?
Yeah, the drum solo.
Did he do a drum solo?
Toad.
It's obligatory, Toad. Huh? It's,
But see, that was the exciting part of the concert, believe it or not. Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker, like, they played more or less like it was back in the, you know, in the late 60s. But Eric Clapton, he was more or less like the way he plays now.
Okay, which is a more gentrified, slow, or...
like, you know...
like middle-aged.
Like the way they did Crossroads. Like, he played his guitar parts more or less like he would play them now, like an acoustic version.
Okay, now wait a minute. You know? Didn't people sue the guys from Limp Bizkit because they put on a mediocre show or something like that? There was a...
That's for real.
There was a class action something or other where a bunch of people put together a suit claiming they wanted their money back because he played a substandard performance and then he was off after like three or four, whatever. Brian,
I think that was Creed.
Creed?
Yeah, it was Creed.
And tell me what you know about it.
That they put on, I think the singer was drunk and some people in the audience got mad and went home early and they tried to sue him.
And did they actually sue him? Come on,
I never heard the end.
I wonder if they got a settlement. You know, it depends on what the band stands right. for. You know, if it's a Motley Crue, then they love that kind of controversy, and it's, hey, screw you, buddy, you know? But if it's somebody with a religious bias or somebody with a political bias, I'm sure if you sued Bono enough, you know.
It's like bad movie. If you leave the movie early enough, you get your money back. But if you stay more than half the movie, it's kind of too late.
Is that the truth? If I go to the movie theater here and I walk out within the first 10 minutes or something, then I can get my money back?
I have before.
Yeah, they got some new kind of policy. I think
that's
you could.
That's not policy. That's just you just complain and go, this movie sucks. I want to leave. And you just started.
So essentially, rock and roll functions like pornography right now. You paid for it. Tough luck. Don't tell me you didn't know how it was going to end, right?
Yeah.
So you saw both of these concerts, right?
Yes.
A record, a live record or some such coming up here?
They put a...
pay-per-view, whatever?
They put out a double CD and a DVD.
So what
the Royal Albert Hall show.
So what's the deal? Do you think he did it because the other guys are broke? And they got Dr. Bills?
I think so. That's what I think.
And he did it begrudgingly, huh?
And probably did it now because, you know, they're getting older and, you know, with Jack being sick, maybe won't be around.
What kind of sick is the bass player?
Well, I think he had a liver transplant, like maybe like a year and a half ago.
That almost goes along with your first recording contract, doesn't it? Somebody in the rhythm section's going to...
But like I said, he was like the really good part of the show. Like, you know, being a guitar player, like, you know, Brian would know, you know, like certain sounds like, you know, that you expect to hear Clapton use and stuff like that. You know, he just didn't do it.
He had no gut, no glory for it.
No gut, no volume. There was virtually no volume to that guitar.
Yeah, like certain songs, like, you know, you're like in White Room, you know.
He just didn't go for it.
Right, yeah, well, he used the wah-wah pedal at the Madison Square Garden shows. At the Royal Albert Hall, he didn't even use a wah-wah.
Okay, well, the point here is, why do we have to pay adolescent prices for middle-aged rock and roll?
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's the same thing with Queen, right? Didn't they come around down with... did they play locally yet?
Yeah. Well, I don't think they played in the States yet, but they played in London and a couple other places, and they got...
Hold on, go ahead.
I think Queen is going to open in Vegas. like as a regular thing.
No, no, no. You're talking about the Queen show, like We Will Rock You or We Are the Champions or something.
Am I wrong?
And it's one of those tribute things. Or no, it's called a jukebox musical is what that is. It's like the Billy Joel thing that he did of all of a retrospective of his songs, and they danced up to it, and then they did a thing of Holland Dozier, Holland songs, or whatever, and now they're doing something based on Queen. You know, they play Queen songs, and then there's a story loosely fitted into this. But I understand that the kid who sings for that production has a way good voice that sounds a lot like Freddie Mercury. Would you buy that?
Yeah, I would, definitely. You know? But that's the whole thing now. You know, like a lot of these bands, they're making these comebacks, you know?
But it's not really the band.
Right.
It's truth and advertising issues. Journey comes along. It's named Journey. And the singer's different. The singer was like a window washer or something out in Brooklyn. Really. And he looks like the guy. And he sounds identically to the guy. I don't know, is Bono right? Is it even better than the real thing? Because they're paying top drawer prices. They're paying $200-$300 to go sit in front of the band, and it's not the real guy in front. Or is it? Is it like Harvard Law School, where the professors can change and the education is just as good? Or is it irreplaceable parts? What do you think?
Well, let's put it this way. You know, Like I was saying, with these bands that are coming out, and they got all of these different people singing, you know what I mean? I mean, if they're good, you know, I'd go see it, you know what I mean? But most of the time, you know, these guys, I don't think they really cut it, you know?
Does Sammy Hagar cut it? Did you go see the Van Halen issue with his Sammy Hagar the last time around?
No, I didn't catch that.
Oh, did you see? Have you seen Sammy with the band?
I seen Sammy with the
band. And what are you thinking?
I like the stuff, some of the stuff that Sammy did, but of course I like the stuff that you did better.
You know? What's your favorite Sammy Hagar song?
Can't Drive 55.
Okay, turn off the music here. Somebody sing me that song. My point exactly. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. David Lee Roth in the morning.